although we had a church of perhaps 100, the talent wasn't near as much as this church. And one thing that I always longed for was my wife did her very best playing the piano, and but I haven't found a better musician in all the churches I've ever been in than Debbie. I wanted to encourage my wife, but she did the best she could. But when I came here, it was like heaven, heaven, heaven. And the second is someone to MC the service and to help in the preliminaries. And Jim does an excellent job. And I appreciate the professionalism in the ministry that is put forth here. Someone said to me yesterday, you know what the most sought-after gift was last year at our Christmas exchange? One gift that people wanted more than anybody else? It was you bunch of gamblers out there. The lottery, the scratch cards. Boy, they went, I thought, what am I pastoring here? I mean, they went fast. Well, someone suggested to me, well, Pastor, could I bring a used lottery card? Because you do get a second chance. I thought, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. I said, okay, praise the Lord. Please open in your Bibles this morning. I believe we have it up on the screen that Sherry had. In Luke chapter 2. I want to title this, I want to hear some good news. You can see what's behind me, but I'm going to read the text from Luke chapter 2, verse 10. We know the story of the shepherds watching over their flock by night and an angel. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel just said, I'm going to bring you some good news, and it's going to have some joy with it. Now, this news is for all people, because up to this point in the story surrounding the text, what was happening at the time when the angel came, this good news had been shared with a selected few individuals. But now the angel is telling the shepherds and saying, this good news is not just for a few, but it's for all people. And the reason this was so refreshing is this angel was bringing something that had been given to him. This angel didn't make up this story. He was simply telling the story that God had given him. He was only reporting the news that God took this angel, some believe it was Gabriel, and you go share this. The word news, I don't know if news was derived from north, east, west, and south, but nonetheless, that is the word news. Because at this time, when the angel said this, throughout the land, there was a tremendous amount of bad news floating around. Two major events were the buzz throughout the community. The first bad news was taxes had just been decided to be created from Caesar Augustus, and it says that all the world should be taxed. How many know that didn't make everybody happy? And not only was it bad news that all the world was going to be taxed from Caesar Augustus, but you had to leave where you were, and you had to take a trip. Brother Jim, there's a little ring I'm hearing. If they could just turn this down just a bit, please, I would appreciate it much. So the people are not happy campers from the fact that they're being taxed. And not only that, they had to go and uproot their family and go to be registered and to deal with the tax situation. The second bad news is perhaps more heart-shattering that I believe was still prevalent. Because in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, we read, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." At the time when Herod was one of the political leaders in this province, he heard of a king that was coming. And because of his small man's mentality, he feared his position. And his fear led him to fear his whether he could remain to be king. And he did a terrible thing and had all of the children, 2 years old and under, in Bethlehem, were destroyed. I heard one commentator say that we find no history of this in the archives, but I thought, you know, I would believe the Bible more than I believe our history books today, and just because they perhaps do not have it doesn't mean it didn't happen. How many know this is the Word of God and God cannot lie? But that was bad news. So here is this news that is a holy, terrible, discouraging hush. But right in the middle of this bad news, God sends an angel with some good news. I thought of the day in which we live, and we likewise are being saturated with bad, discouraging news. Just this past week, and let me go back a little further, a month or two, the terrible shooting in Pakistan where over 130 children were shot in a school. And then we've seen on the news the rioting in our streets and the looting and the violence in some of our cities. We've heard of the Ebola outbreak. And then I heard this past week of a mother who stabbed her children. And then North Korea is threatening to bomb our theaters if they show a certain film. And then my friend called today concerning a grandchild that was not born healthy. And I thought, I sure could use some good news. You know, we get bombarded with, but the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 25, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from afar." We heard in Sunday school today that my feet are one of the finest pair of feet in Campbell. Because the Bible says that how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Oh, take a look at your feet down there. And if you've been witnessing, it improves the structure and the quality and the beauty of your feet. Upon the authority of God's word, he wants us to be of good cheer. How often good news given at the right time. But here is this angel. He said, "I've got some good news. Behold, I bring good tidings of great joy." This isn't for just a few, a selected few. This is for all people. That means me and you. But this angel was chosen to deliver the good news. He's called a messenger. This isn't the first time that God has used messengers. Moses was a messenger. He was given the law on Mount Sinai. And then when he had that law and God told him to get down off the mountain quickly because thy people have corrupted themselves, and Moses heading down the mountain and saw what Aaron had done and the terrible things, he took the Ten Commandments and he broke them in frustration over the people because he was a deliverer of the law. And God said, "Moses, you think it was that easy to make these Ten Commandments that I did? You can do it the second time." So the second time he went back up there and God said, "You do it this time." So Moses made the second one, but he brought them to the people, and he was a messenger. He didn't write the commandments. He was told what to write, and he simply delivered it. Isaiah was a messenger. Jeremiah was a messenger. Brother Jim taught over a year, but how often, dozens of times we would read in the class, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And Jeremiah would simply share the news. Some of it was not as exciting as the news that we hear this morning. And it wasn't their words. They were simply to share what had been told them. Even Paul said, when we will next week have communion, and I encourage you to come and prepare your hearts for communion before we actually do it. But even Paul said, that which I have given unto you, I received of the Lord, that on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And so Paul was simply a messenger sharing with the church on how to have communion. It wasn't their words, they were messengers of God's word. Isaiah received a word from the Lord that said, tell the people that I'm going to send my messenger who shall prepare the way of the Lord. And this is what the messenger shall say. He will say, this is because I told him to say it. And that's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. You see, John the Baptist, his script was already laid out for him. He was simply a messenger. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's the message that John the Baptist had. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, God says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, there were two messengers. One was a messenger to prepare the way of the messenger, and the messenger of the new covenant was Christ. He came with a new covenant. He was the messenger of the covenant. And now we come to the New Testament. And 400 years after the prophet spoke of John the Baptist, this messenger. And may we observe, he is a God's messenger. That was his office. He's an ambassador. He was an angel. An ambassador that goes to another country, he does not share his opinion. He better not. He must only speak of the powers that be back home. And you often hear on the news where maybe an ambassador, John Kerry, got himself in trouble one time, extending thoughts and views that he was not given permission to do. But who he works for, anybody would have a hard time working for him. But here an ambassador goes to another country. He's not permitted to speak his own words. He's only permitted to speak from what he has been told to speak in representing that government. John the Baptist was a messenger with a message he had been given. And that message was, you see, for years, since Adam fell in the garden, a Messiah, a Savior was coming. And God now says, I'm going to send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he will have a message to prepare the hearts of the people to receive the Savior. And the Messiah came, a great prophet, it says, that shall arise, that shall give notice of his approach, and to call to the everlasting gates and doors to lift up their heads and give him admission. That probably was part of the message of John the Baptist. Open wide your gates. Here comes your king. Lift up your heads. Here comes your king. However, another messenger was told that would come. Malachi predicts that is the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. How many know we delight in Jesus? And the Old Testament prophets were called messengers. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 13, we read these words. Spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger. You see, a messenger simply has been given some information, and that information is to be given to the people that he is sent to. He's not to add to what he's been given, and he's not to take away what he's been given. In the Old Testament, we find this concept throughout the Bible. We know the story of the 12 spies that went into Jericho and spying out the city. And they found a little lady there by the name of Rahab, who was a harlot. And she lodged these spies. She let them stay with her. And it is said that because she welcomed the messengers, you see, they had a message. And the message was that God is going to destroy this city of Jericho. And so she asked for mercy. And she was told, if you will lay out of your window a scarlet rope, that when we come, we will know not to bring destruction to this house. And the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. They had news to tell, even though it wasn't real warm, comforting, fuzzy-wuzzy news. It was from God nonetheless. And because she received the messengers, God took care of her. And I might say there is a lesson. Always take care and show respect to the messengers that bring you the Word of God. And I don't say this for myself, but for the office itself. May the office always be held up with respect and to be received, because they are messengers of God. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be Wednesday night, or whether it be the pastor or Sister Nichols, how many know it's always good to receive the messengers? And in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 and 16, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, that means a lot, and sending, because he had compassion on his people. How many messages has God sent through his messengers and on his dwelling place? But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. And yet at Christmas time, the message from the angel is, we've got some good news. And in the midst of such bad news, we could use some good news. And I began to meditate on the messages that God has sent since man has been in the garden and kicked out of the garden and walked on earth. God's always sending messages. Not messages in a bottle, but messages. In fact, in the Christmas story, I find at least 9 different ways that God sent a message. 9 different ways. And I began to meditate on the messages that God has sent. You find in Genesis 6, God sent a message that was given that God was going to destroy the world by a flood. How many know people can make a mistake if they think that God's news is always uplifting and encouraging and full of a cheer? And yes, it is, but he is the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the news then was that God was going to destroy the world. And he used Noah to spread that message. And though it wasn't received, then we find Noah in the ark, and God sent another message. He used a dove and sent out a raven, and the raven, it'll land on anything. But the dove, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, it says, went out and could find no rest for the sole of her foot. And Noah reached out his hand in the ark or the window and pulled it back in. But one time he sent it out and the dove came back with a leaf broke off. in its mouth. And I'll bet when Noah saw that, he said to Mrs. Noah, we're finally going to get out of this mess and get a home, and we're going to find some ground. I'll bet everybody in that ark just started having a hallelujah time. I'll bet the elephants went and the monkeys and everything was hallelujah. And then God put a message in the sky, a rainbow. I mean, the Bible is full of amazing stories. You read Judges chapter 3, verse 20, of a man named Ehud. And God told this minister, say, God wouldn't do that. Folks, read your Bible. And this man had a sword, and he had to go tell this wicked king that had been bad, not serving God. He got into his palace, and the guard said, what do you want? He said, I have a private word for the man inside. And they said, all right, and they didn't check him. And he went in, pulled his sword out, and he said to the man there, I got a word from God for you. And he said, what is it? And he said, hold still. And he stuck his sword into him, and he couldn't pull it out because there was so much to pull out. You say, yuck, I didn't write it, I'm only a messenger. You say, I don't ever get any messages, Pastor. I don't really know if God has given me a message. Yes, He has. He has, yes. Read your Bible. Because it says in the Epistle of John, we have a message from God. It says in the Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to these words. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's good news. How many need some cleansing occasionally? And that's a message from God. And I want to ask you, has the message gotten through to you? Have you received the message? Recently, this past few weeks, I was asked to preach a funeral for Steve Birch. He was the building inspector for Campbell for 14 years. I've been asked to see him at the hospital. I met him one time, I believe, when he was coming to inspect our sign that we put up. But when I entered the hospital room, our eyes met. I remembered him, and he no doubt remembered me, and he had requested that I come see him. I said, hello, Steve, and he thanked me for coming. And he said, I've asked you to come because I want to know how to get right with God. And the next 6 visits, I kept driving home, Steve, you asked the question, how to get right with God. I will not give you my opinion. I will not give you my thoughts. I'm going to give you what God said, the message that I didn't write. And I said to Steve, Steve, you were a building inspector. And when you went to the job, your job was to inspect to see what they had done, what they had built, was lined up with the building code that you didn't write. You didn't write the code, but your job was to make sure it was done according to the code. Is that correct? He said, yes. I said, well, my job is not to write the code. I didn't write the book. I'm only God's messenger. And that's what all of us are called to do when we share the gospel, which is good news, with Jesus Christ. But I shared with him what was in the book. And I remember preaching his funeral, looking at the well-attended funeral with standing room only in the back. And I said to the people, how do you think you would get right with God? And what I want to ask you is, are you doing it by the book? Because as much as Steve, when he would go out to inspect a job, and I'm sure he did a wonderful job, but when he did, he had to do it according to the book. And I was delighted. I had no idea that at the funeral, it was open coffin before they closed it, but there was a Bible put on his chest. And I was able to use that as an illustration. You notice there's a Bible that is placed on him. But I asked the congregation. They weren't running the aisles or shouting or saying amen. But I gave them the gospel the best way I could, as I think any funeral should. You've got one shot at people that are probably never going to hear the gospel. Very rarely go to church. And give them the gospel. And give them to it the way it's found in the book. And so I challenge them to get into the book and to see what the message is that God has. But not only did God speak at Christmas time, his messages are still going forth. And at this time of year, it is a message of goodwill towards men. It's a message that is for all people. It's a message of hope. It's a message of a Savior. There's a book written entitled God Winks. When I was about 13 or 14, I had a younger sister, Darlene. We were playing out on the side, and Dad was working on the house. And my younger sister and I was doing what every older brother is called to do, and that is to tease his younger sister. And we were playing. It was all light and hearty. And Darlene was joking back, and she said, Dennis! And my dad, on the other side of Darlene, joined in, but he said to me, Dennis, knock it off. And then he looked at me and he winked. My sister didn't see the wink, but I saw the wink. And I've never forgotten that wink from my father, that I had an inside track with my dad. And he wasn't telling me not to do what I was doing. He was just joining in with the lighthearted fun. In this, God winks, and there's many ways that God speaks to us. I was so excited when I heard this news. I need to have a little compassion. My wife was dead tired, wanting to get to sleep. I said, honey, let me share this with you. Oh, honey, I'm so tired, I'm going to go to bed. But honey, let me tell you this news. And she was gracious to hear it. But it's a true story of a woman that had received news that her husband was going to need a new heart. His was bad, and he only had 1 month to live, the expert said. So this woman was a believer, and so she called all of her believing friends and began to ask them to pray with her. And she began to pray and called around other churches. But after about 3 or 4 days of praying, she began to feel that her prayer was not right for God to provide a donor. Because she says, if God is to provide a donor for my husband, then that means somebody has to die. And if God can do that, then rather than asking for a donor and a new heart, I'm just going to ask God to give my husband a new heart and to heal my husband's new heart. I feel much better in that kind of a prayer. And then she had the audacity, when David asked for a sign, she asked God for a sign. She said, Lord, if you've heard my prayer and you're going to answer it, I want it to snow on December the 25th where I live. She lived on the bottom panhandle of Texas. It had not snowed there in the last 40 years. And for her to ask such a hard request in the eyes of some, but she felt, if God's in it, then I want it to snow on that day. And in where I live in Texas, do you know that a week later was December the 25th, and she woke up to snow in Texas. She was so thrilled, and she knew others that she had shared her prayer request with, that they were all excited, and she felt that God had heard her. And then she actually, when her husband and her went to the doctor to be checked again, the doctor said, we don't know what happened, but the new heart that he was needing is no longer. We find nothing wrong with his heart at all. And she was so thrilled. And this author says in his book, have you ever had something happen to you that was so unreal and that you knew it wasn't a coincidence, and the odds and the mathematic odds of this happening are astronomical? This must be God. And she felt that snow in Texas, it happening that day, and for her husband to have a new heart from the doctor wasn't a coincidence. It was good news. It was God winking, letting you know that He's with you and He hears you. And I believe that God does that quite often to His people if we could only see it at times. The other story I heard that I thought was worth keeping my wife up was, honey, I got another one I got to tell you. And it is another true story. Over 40 years ago, there was a circus that was well known and established for traveling throughout the land. They had a clown that was part of the routine for this circus. However, this clown, there had never been taken of him a picture of the clown smiling. The clown was known for a sad face and was always with that lips painted on going downward. Well, one day this clown that no one had ever saw smiling, one day he received a long distance phone call. And when he went to answer the phone and began to hear the news, there just happened to be a photographer there that recognized him as the clown that was the sad clown of this circus. And he's watching this clown, not being aware that he's being watched by this photographer that is starting his career, when he notices the clown is smiling on the phone. And what the clown is hearing on the phone, long distance, is that his wife had just delivered him a little baby girl, his firstborn. And he was hearing the news and he was smiling, so thrilled that he had been given a healthy little baby girl. And he was smiling. And the photographer saw the smile and took the picture. And it made the newspaper. And now let's fast forward 30 years. The daughter that had been born now hears word that her father, the clown that never smiled, died. And she, grieving as any daughter would, got into an airplane, was traveling to the funeral. She's sitting on the airplane, and as she is there sitting, obviously her feelings are very low, and she's down the fact that her father has died and heading to the funeral. And the man sitting next to her notices that she's grieving, and he wants to help, but he doesn't know the right words. And finally he just says, I don't mean to butt in, but I noticed that you seem to be, you know, kind of down. He said, is there anything I can do to help you? And this woman said, she happened to look and there was a newspaper that gave the news of her father dying, and said, and she pulled the newspaper up and said, well, maybe you've heard that this clown here, that it shows a picture of him smiling. Well, that was my father. And the man said, oh my goodness, I'm the photographer that took the picture 30 years ago. And to this woman, it was as though God was winking, letting her know that He understood and He was with her and He's the God of all comfort. How many could use some good news? God has a way of continually bringing us good news and winking at us and having things happen in our life. Could the children, if they would, it'd be good news right now if I know if they'd be ready, if somebody, go get them. Do I have a children getter? And let them know that we're going to be ready for them here in just a few minutes. But that I believe, folks, that God is winking continually at us. And that He is a God of comfort. And he is going to bring some good news. I mean, after continually we're being bombarded with bad news, we could sure use some good news. And so the question I want to close with is, where can we get this good news? Well, we can get it from God's book. The gospel means good spell, God's spell. I could use some He is risen news. I could use some good tidings of great joy news, which shall be to all people. Isn't it amazing? Right in the middle of the storm of Paul on the ship, when it looked like all lives would be lost and all hope was gone, God showed up in the middle of that scene and had some, be of good cheer. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but I pray that God in His divine way will be able to give you an inside shot and a wink that could come to you that you know that the Lord is there. I mean, wouldn't you like to be able to know the situation and be able to, wouldn't it have been great if you could have been back there when Mary and Martha are told that Lazarus has died and now they're weeping and they're concerned. Wouldn't it have been great if you could have said, I want to tell you it's okay, Jesus is coming, He's going to raise him from the dead, and be able to give them the good news because you know the end of the story? Or wouldn't it have been great to tell the disciples, hey disciples, I know you're sad and you think Jesus is dead, but listen, He's going to rise from the dead. I have some good news for you. Wouldn't it be great? You say, well, God would have to tell you. He has told us. Do you know we've got some good news in here that says all things work together for good? That's good news. Let me conclude with this last thought. Learn to make your own news. What do I mean by that? One man told me years ago, I didn't agree with him, but I didn't tell him. He said, I don't listen to the news. No, he said, it's all bad. And then you're not going to know what's going on. I didn't tell him this. I said, then you probably shouldn't read the Bible either, because it's got some stories in there that if you're going to use your philosophy, it's not good either. And if you want everything just uppity up and up, this thing, it's got people going to hell. And this thing, it's got Job. Don't read Job. And don't read Noah, and don't read Isaiah, and don't even read it. But it's got a lot of good news in it, and the good news outweighs the bad. But then it dawned on me, we're not to be isolated, we're to be insulated. We're not to be a thermometer, we're to be a thermostat. A thermometer only becomes what the surrounding is. But a thermostat, it changes, makes it hotter or colder. How do you make your own news? The way you make your own news is not by keeping the news out, but you take what you hear and you give it the proper biblical commentary. And here's where the Bible tells us to make your own news. Don't let the media have the last word. Don't let anything have the last word. Everything you hear in life, put God in the middle of it. Bring God into the equation. And by doing that, you're maybe not making the news, you're seeing the news as it really is. You said you have Bible for that. Yes, I do. Philippians chapter 4, it tells us how we're to think, what we're to think. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he tells us we're to make our own news. He says, think on these things. Think on what's true. Think on what's honest. Well, this happened to me, and that's true. Bring God into the equation. What is true is if you be a child of God, all things work together for good. Now you're putting news the way it ought to be. How many know you're responsible for your own joy that the Lord wants to give you? And by you cultivating and thinking scripturally and thinking biblically, you're making the news. So that rather when you hear news, you don't let that be the final story. You don't let that commentator give you what is happening. You always put God right in the middle of it. And you become a thermostat rather than a thermometer. You allow yourself to bring God into the equation. And you, rather than letting the news affect you, you affect your world. How do you do that? By letting your light shine. And if your light is not lit up with the joy of the Lord and with Jesus in you and knowing that you're victorious in Him, and it says if you'll think on what is true, what is honest, and if there be a good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things, dwell on them, but dwell on them with God in the picture. And He says this, and the God of peace shall be with you. You can have peace. You don't have to have a nervous breakdown. You don't have to be affected. You don't have to get upset thinking the pastor's going too long. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Phil, you're one of the easiest guys to preach to. I look out and there's that smiling face. You bring me good news with that smile. All right. How many could use some good news? The children are going to come right now. I said the children are going to come right now. Okay, open up your heads, open the gates. I'm John the Baptist. Wednesday night, Audrey and Evan sang, and it was such a sweet song, and I thought all of our children need to sing that. And I want you to listen to the words of this song. You don't need to make it, you just need to receive it. I just want you to receive that news. But if you hear news, put God in the equation. I have a word for somebody, and it is this. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And so if you're in life and you've got some battles, and you're thinking about it, think on these things. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. God is going to see to it you're victorious. Kids, you did a great job. Thank you very much. Go out and shake their hands as you go. And God bless you. And we'll see you hopefully later today with some lottery tickets. Just joking.